All right, we are welcoming on Clay Rust. Disclaimer, we are without Rick today. He is off the grid. So we're just going to carry on without him. Also, he doesn't listen to these, so I can say whatever I want. So Clay and I know each other from high school, mm-hmm. played football together. Mm-hmm. We're not really friends in high school.
Nope.
Kind of friends in high school.
Kind of friends.
Not really friends in high school.
No.
You wouldn't figure that we'd be as good of friends as we are now based on the level of friendship that we had in high school.
Correct.
So, nailed that one.
That's really sweet.
It's a blossoming relationship.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, you know, some relationships, you like have really strong relationships with people in high school. And then after high school, they just, you know, most of them plummet. And then you get some surprising ones in there. Like, I'm friends with Billings. I never would have expected that I'd be friends with Andrew Billings, but he invited me to his wedding. So, huge. Huge for me.
Got the STD. Nice.
Save the date.
Very confused.
Yeah, so Clay and I have an interesting, what I would consider primarily intellectual relationship.
Some might argue that point.
Yeah, I mean, well, you don't get to go talk, like, you don't get to just, like, vent out all the crazy stuff to anybody. So it's nice to have somebody who's just, like, is equally as nuts, because you're pretty nuts.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Try and keep that on the down low. Well,
I don't think that you're going to be able to keep it on the down low by the end of this, but
that's fair.
Yeah, we're equally crazy in our
curiosity.
Yeah, there he goes. That's why we're friends right there. So you are a month into medical school.
Yes.
How far into your God complex are you?
Not very. They
really, that was my funny question.
They really try to beat that one out of you, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? What do you mean? Remind you that you're human?
Yeah. Yeah. They remind you that you're human. They remind you that the person you're seeing is human. You might be more well-informed, but you are no better than that person by any mean. So.
How nice. I'm surprised. Yeah. I was hoping for a little more of a... Coming from you, I was expecting...
Take offense to that. I don't even know where the statement's going.
I don't know. I just figured that you'd be... Well, I mean, eventually, Clay, you're going to get... It's going to happen. You can't avoid it.
That's probably true.
You're on record as saying that you're a narcissist.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. Yes, yes.
Were you going to say something, Reed?
Why is it... We have a lot of people coming here claiming
the narcissist thing?
Yeah, it keeps coming back.
It's first of all, it's
we
apparently...
Did we reevaluate our friend group?
No, because I think narcissists are some of the most... Like, just some of the best people to be around. You want somebody who really enjoys themselves, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't think I'm infallible by any means. But yeah, like, unless... I will not accept... that I'm wrong unless somebody can give me, like, proof that
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
wrong. Like, I'm not just going to take your word
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, you're not just going to just, you know, lay down just because someone's insistent on something, which is totally fair. I mean...
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, you're not a narcissist. Like, you're the opposite of a narcissist.
That just seems like a lot of work to be...
It can be.
...that into oneself.
Oh, well. I don't know if that's how I would put it. I mean, you're just... If you feel like you're right, you feel like you're right. What do you know?
Have a little confidence, Reed.
Yeah.
It's not a lack of confidence, just like...
Yeah, you bow down around Clay. It pisses me off.
I yes. do not bow down around you, Clay. What way have I been bowing
you
down?
You kiss the ring.
I mean, you're currently on your knees right now, like...
Well, strike that from the record. I am not on my knees. I am planted on the couch. Strike from the record.
They can't see that, so...
No proof. All I'm saying is that, you know... I've told you before, don't be afraid to challenge Clay a little bit. He's very smart, but
he's
go ahead.
School.
That doesn't mean shit.
I have a comm arts degree. Let's...
I don't have a doc. I'm one. I mean, plenty of things could go wrong. between now and the next 4 years for me being in medical school to just end up me being with a huge bill.
Do you know the percentages on how many people make it through?
Like 99.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I figured that.
Once you're in, they do a lot to keep you there.
Okay.
And to get you through.
I kind of figured if you're able to make it that far, then you're smart enough to.
Well, it's not even that. Well, it is that. But the resources that they will like put behind you are unbelievable. I read somewhere, thinking like USA Today, that the average cost to the medical school to train one medical student per year, or I'm sorry, one medical student over the lifetime of their, say, 4 year career is $1 million. I don't know how they got to that number, but if you think about like all of the,
I believe
the
that.
Physicians that they have to take out of the clinic to teach, all of the hours that they spend in the lab, all these extra things, following physicians, you know, basically just taking away from productivity of physicians to teach these medical students, adds up to about $1 million per medical student. So,
wow,
good God!
if they don't get you into the workforce and hopefully working for, say, you know, the state, then that's a very poor return on investment.
I would
on
agree.
Their part.
I'm not all that surprised to hear that number, though. Like, it's kind of the most important thing in the entire world. So, I'm all right with them putting money into that as opposed to a lot of other things that they could put money into.
Do you see NYU just made their medical school tuition free?
Hmm. I maybe
wish I would have got
change.
Into NYU.
You go to Madison, right?
Correct.
Okay.
As if you didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I obviously know that, but I'm giving the people your background.
Appreciate that.
And you went to Madison for your undergrad, and what did you major in?
I was a chemistry major.
Mm.
Not a lot of people like that one.
What do you think about that, Reed?
I hated chemistry. Like, I hated I was in the easiest possible chemistry class in high school, walked out with a C, never want to look back.
Can't be mad at that. C's no. average.
Yeah.
C's get degrees. You only took one?
Yes.
Just one class ever?
I mean, well, one chemistry class. Well,
yeah. But you didn't have to take one in college at all?
I played the system pretty well. I kind of bounced around a little bit from like major to major, and then eventually found the one where it's like, take these small amount of core classes that were comms classes, and then all these options for electives, which I just happened to take all of those classes already at this point. So, comm arts, here we go. Chose that my second semester of my junior year. I declared it.
Well done.
Yeah.
I have not taken a chemistry class since high school. Studied a little bit on my own, but I'm still not smart enough to be considered good at it. I will get there, though.
It's fascinating.
I'm extremely determined to become good at the sciences because, as you know, my background is the science portion of the ACT. I think I got like a 14 on. In high school.
What was the range? I'm really bad.
I don't know. I just know that.
So we're just throwing out numbers.
Well, I know that that's really bad. I know that. Like, that's really, really bad. I didn't pay attention. I cheated my way through most of my science classes. And then it wasn't until I was in my, like, early 20s that I discovered that I really liked science. But I didn't know anything about it. So I had to, like, reteach myself anything that I know, which still isn't much. But like I said, I'm rather determined to get there. If you recall, it was probably about 3 years ago that I started just firing questions at you. Mm. I just was like, hey, Clay, I'm starting to study neuroscience and I'm going to have a lot of questions. And you always gave me the bigger picture because I didn't understand a lot of the...
I tried to give you the bigger picture.
You did give me the bigger picture. A lot of it helped make sense because it's like... It's not easy to learn something if you don't have someone like actually teaching. There's like, if there's just one set way and you don't understand that, then you can't learn it. So that's when I would come to you with like the most simple questions.
I feel like I should get some residual checks
eventually, maybe you, well, you won't, but yeah, maybe.
One
maybe
day.
Maybe when you're old, you can be a professor. You're quite a teacher.
I'll take that.
You related to someone who didn't know, like, I didn't know anything at all. So, I enjoy speaking conceptually about it right now. That I'm able to do, at least a little bit. You could muscle me out if you really wanted to, but it's fun. I have other medical school questions, though. First of which, let's address what you just told Reed and I about, was it last week that you, I don't even feel comfortable saying it, but you...
Skinned a cadaver?
Say it the right way. You skinned a human. Skinned a human.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cadaver sounds, you know, you skinned a human being.
Sounds more respectful, Reed. Yeah, I did.
Anything you want to say about that?
That was something.
Go ahead. Just
that was...
Were you skidded, like, a little skirmish at all?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody who tells you they're not is lying.
I would be.
Oh.
Confirmed?
It's weird. It's weird because it's not... It looks like a human. It was a human. But it's been sitting in a tank of ethanol and a little bit of formaldehyde for months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
stink something fierce.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
actually,
no,
it doesn't.
Preserved.
It doesn't smell that bad.
Having the chemicals?
No. Yeah. It was. I was very surprised at the lack of odor. Strange, but yeah, like it's cold.
Yeah.
Obviously, it lays on its back, so when you have to flip the cadaver over, like the back is rock hard and like flat. But yeah, it was weird. It's weird cutting into flesh and seeing somebody's ab muscles and their,
can you
know,
see their
shoulders.
Face still? Can you remember the
no,
face?
No, we cover the face until we start working on the face just out of respect for the donor.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you name it?
No.
Good God.
Well, no, so that's a fair question.
That's
because
a fair question.
A lot of times they will give the name of the person of the cadaver, like I said, in order to kind of humanize it and give you an appreciation for the fact that, I mean, like this guy had to die in order for
person,
me to learn this kind of stuff. So a lot of schools do give out the names. I think Wisconsin used to give out the name, if I'm not mistaken, but yeah, I don't know his name. I kind of wish I did, honestly.
We differ there.
Could have Facebooked him.
Shut up.
I don't know
up.
If I'm going to do that.
Shut up. I hate you. why did you do that? What was the bigger goal?
Why did I do what?
Why did you have to do that? Why did you have to? What was like the?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's because the second year medical students have more interesting anatomy lab activities to do, and we just got burdened with the bitch work, for lack of a better term, to skin the body so that they can do some deeper investigating.
Okay,
but. We did. We had to. What did we have to find? We had to find some of like the peripheral nerves that help you with like sense and touch. No
ooh,
motor neurons.
Ooh, I know a little bit about
yeah,
that.
No motor neurons. It was the somatogeneral neurons and or the somatomotor neurons and the general sensory neurons.
Okay.
Of the peripheral nervous system. Both
cool.
Anteriorly and posteriorly.
This is just so happened to land in something that I actually know a little bit about, so I'm not going to try and go into it at all, but he's talking about things that I do know just a touch about, just like the...
Talking nerves, Reed.
Oh, I don't know anything about this. I'm just soaking it all in.
Yeah, anyway, that was... I mean, there were a lot of things that could have been looking for, but it just so happened to be something that I actually knew what he was talking about, yeah. So good for me. On my way to med school, first step.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow. Ooh. a month in and they're having you. Ooh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have to.
I get it. I get it.
You have to do it early. Otherwise, it's kind of the white elephant in the room sitting like, when are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? Are we ever going to do this?
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's just...
throw you into the deep end right away. You learn how to swim pretty quick.
A little baptism by fire. That's cool. Do you know what you want to? Do you know what you want to be when you grow up?
I do. I want to be a doctor. I'm pretty sure that I want to go into surgery, which is not what anybody really wants to hear. Everybody wants you to be a family medicine doctor.
Really?
In rural Wisconsin, because there aren't enough of those, which is true. I mean, it's a very true point, but
fuck that, go for it.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think I'd get bored if I just had to sit like in an office or in a clinic 5 days a week for 35 years. I like to kind of do stuff with my hands.
Yeah.
And so the procedural aspect of surgery, as well as it's a huge adrenaline rush to be responsible for somebody's life as they're lying on the operating room table, completely unconscious.
Sure.
And you're kind of the proxy.
I would, I trust you to operate on me eventually.
Right now?
No.
I got stuff. Oh, never mind.
Would that be a conflict of interest? Would you be allowed to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. Sweet.
Conflict of interest.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there seems like something that might be applicable.
I mean, I'm curious what the conflict would be. Like, you want to be healthy, but I want to kill you?
No, like you would, I don't know, do something.
Well, the emotion.
An emotional reaction, yeah, to something.
So that, as far as I can tell, that is very much up to the, that's like subject to the doctor. I don't think there's anything that says, oh, you can't operate on your mother. It's just, do I really want to operate on my mother, or would I rather have somebody else that I trust who is not going to have that kind, yeah, of emotional overtone during the operation?
I mean, I'm going to let you operate on me. Hopefully they have it to a point where...
I might be able to do it from home at some point.
How so?
They've got these surgical robots.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that can... So currently, if you can imagine, the operating table is in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And the surgical robotic limbs are like hanging from the ceiling as if like a ceiling fan.
Yeah.
And the surgeon is in the corner of the room facing the wall working on a... basically like a console that controls the surgical arms. And so theoretically, you could do surgery remotely so long as you had that like that hookup to your console and to the surgical arms, which is crazy to think about that you can do surgery on somebody 95 miles away.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Now, whether or not that ever actually comes to be, who knows? But there are surgical robots wherein it's hanging from the ceiling and you're in the corner doing the work.
Have you ever heard the take that medical professionals, I don't know about specialists or whatever, but may eventually be, may have an issue with job security due to AI?
No, I've not heard that.
I have heard that a couple times. I don't think that we're anywhere near that point in time. It's just an interesting concept to think of. Like, I've heard that nurses would have, you know, in this, basically kind of playing off of what you just said and how you, like, you can have, obviously you need someone operating that, the robots, but it's just weird how surgery may be changing from like Clay actually performing surgery to Clay making a robot perform surgery for him.
Yes and no. I mean, it's not like the robot can act on its own by any means. It's just a tool that you use. I would be extremely surprised if anybody, at least in my lifetime, I would be extremely surprised if anybody were to let an autonomous robot operate on them without any human oversight. Whether or not that would be more or less safe is up for debate, but I think this goes into like the humanistic aspect of medicine, that you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you can't connect to the person that you're treating, they won't feel good about it. They won't do as well. So that is, I feel, tenfold increased when you use a legitimate robot.
I suppose that's true.
I mean, ask people who go see doctors who they describe as robotic or cold. Do they like those people generally? No.
Have you been working on your bedside manner?
I have phenomenal bedside manner. I am a charming young man who everybody loves to see when I walk into the room. It's wonderful.
And you're tall.
That helps a lot.
That's big.
Except I have been told that I need to sit down earlier in the interview because I loom over people. Like, that's not my fault, but I get it.
You do loom.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can't even take pictures together, really. It would just never work. We'll have to go our whole lives without...
There's a footstool right here that you guys could probably stand on, maybe get in the picture. Maybe if I kneel.
That would even it out.
You can sit, you know, you can kind of right behind him and talk.
We'll figure something out. We'll figure something. It's not just going to be a normal picture. Because I can't bluff that one like I did with the last picture we did. I said that Prue was 6'5", Rick was 6'4", and I was 6 foot.
I thought you were talking about the one where you guys were in Vegas, and you were, like, stepped up on that little curbside.
Not a lot of people noticed that.
Well, sorry, I just blew that one.
I told some people, but...
Not everybody knows.
Yeah, I was, like, I was a little bit...
And looks legitimate 2 inches taller than Reed. I was like, I didn't realize that before. Maybe Adam really is taller than Reed.
Mm-mm.
Who's to say? I've been told that I am.
Well, you're not.
I mean, in the picture that I saw, do pictures lie?
I have not known them to lie.
Clay. I've never seen a Photoshop picture in my life.
I know what you're doing.
What?
Don't do it.
He's alphaing you right now.
I am Sorry, taller Reed. Than Adam. End of conversation.
Fine. Period.
Yeah, I just think it's pretty awesome that people think I'm taller than Reed because my personality outshines him, but... That's neither here nor there. It's nothing that we need to get into right now.
I would actually like Reed's take on that.
Let him have it again.
Well, there's just no defense to it.
If he wants it, he can have it.
Well, I think there's a reason.
Remember how we were talking about earlier, how Reed just kind of lays down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. I'm not going to expel energy to argue over this. This not worth it. I have better, a bigger fish to fry.
I'll get... Back into medical school stuff. Reed, what do we have for time, bud?
25,
okay. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything cool about medical school that I'm missing? That, do you ever... I know what the answer is to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and then we're going to dive into it. Do you ever worry about your ability to, like, do any of this stuff?
Sure, of course.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I didn't know your answer.
I mean, it is hard. It is ridiculously
for
hard.
For sure. That's like, you were just showing me one of the lessons. Like, one of the lessons. And it's insane. It's absolutely, like, nearly unfathomable. But that's why we have smart people around, so that they can handle that kind of stuff. So there's there's some pressure, like a little bit of pressure.
There is a tremendous amount of pressure.
I guess I'm wording this wrong because obviously, like, to get all of that, like, it's really difficult. But I guess I figure you would assume, like, I'm Clay, I can do this.
Well, okay. So I mean, I don't think that I'm going to say fail out of medical school by any means. Yeah. I'm very, very confident that I will get through it. I mean, plenty of people have done it before. Plenty of people will do it after.
You're just
not impossible.
Yeah.
But it, if you don't work at it, you won't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the pressure, there's a whole host of pressure sources. There's the kind of, you know, familial social pressure where if you're the one dude that drops out or gets kicked out of medical school, like that's something that follows you forever. There's the financial pressure where if you don't graduate from medical school and get a job, you are 300 grand in the hole with really no way of working that one out.
You're fucked
a lot.
You're in trouble if that would be the case. Like you said, most people make it through, so that's not something that we need to extrapolate on at all. But I feel pressure as it is. Just being that's not even true. I don't feel pressure being in school, but I do feel pressure of like just figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
School, especially like where I'm at in school right now, like I'm still doing my undergrad, so there's nothing conceptually difficult about anything that I'm learning.
Sure.
And I'm a psychology major, so I don't have to do, I just do fake science, and like it's not
social science.
Yeah. And like there is some, like obviously there's like my physiological biology class, which I really enjoyed. It's like basically the basics of neuroscience, but it's like pretty much anything that you'd find in that Neuroscience for Dummies book that mm-hmm. I had. So I knew a lot of it before we even got into it. I loved that class. I don't know if I have the juice necessarily to like, I am considering doing a Bachelor of Science and not a Bachelor of Arts. I still have the option to choose my path there, but
what's the actual difference? I don't know.
Not a clue. Not a clue. Sounds cooler to me.
Because I have a BS, but that's because I was in chemistry. I don't think they do BA for chemistry.
I don't think that you can get that. If you could, that's just not plausible. Obviously, with psychology, you can see the two major distinctions.
For sure.
But I guess to loop it all back, that, like, for me, it's figuring out, okay, what am I actually going to do with my life? And for you, it's like there's just constant pressure to continue to perform, like, always.
Yeah.
Which is intense.
I mean, we got talked to about this, that, like, the rates of depression and, I want to say even suicide among... Yeah. Not so much early medical students, because early medical students tend to be more kind of motivated and gung-ho, yeah, optimistic about their career path than, people their age. But once you get into, like, the later years of medical school, your early years of residency, and even once you are, like, a practicing physician, the rates of depression and suicide are significantly higher in the physician population than the rest of the country, which is a weird thing to think about, because you would assume these people are successful. They have money, and they have mm-hmm. social status, and they have everything.
Anything that you could ever think you could
everybody want. Ever wants. You know, as a kid, I was kind of told, but I did want to. I want to be a doctor one day. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, it's weird to think about the fact that there are some, we'll call it, side effects or knock-on effects of putting yourself under that microscope of scrutiny and pressure that I don't think many people really ever think about.
No. I don't think anyone would ever, like, I don't think that any person who's, like, not going down that path would ever actually consider that. Why would you? Like, from the outside looking in, you would never be like, that must suck. No one would ever think that.
And to be fair, I mean, I wouldn't want to, like, I wouldn't trade positions with anybody
for
right
sure.
now. Like,
for sure.
That might go to that kind of whole young medical student optimistic thing we were just talking about. But I don't know. Like, it's going to be hard, obviously. But it's what I want to do. And so nothing,
you do it.
Nothing easy is ever worth doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's like always going to be, the grass is just seemingly always greener in my opinion. Like you're always going to be able to find whatever it is. But yeah, I have another question. So let's hypothetically speaking, not saying that this is necessarily my plan, but let's say that I, get my undergrad, get my master's, which is pretty much my plan right now, and then continue to, get a doctorate and become like a psychologist. Probably not a psychiatrist. I think psychologists would be better for me.
I think you have to go to medical school to be a psychiatrist, don't
maybe.
You?
Maybe. I don't know. I know that they prescribe medicine, so. Does it irk you that I would be considered Dr. Marshall?
No.
Like, do I really deserve that title?
Sure.
You put in so much more work than me.
You also know, probably true.
You know, and then it's
just in England, right? So in England, if you become a doctor, like just you get, I don't know what their letters are, but if you get an MD in England, your, not pronoun, but your prefix is doctor. If you then go become, say, a surgeon, you drop back down to Mr. or Mrs. Like you do more work and then you lose the professional title. Seems backwards, right?
I'm completely taken aback by this. Where's, I mean, is there an ounce of logic in that?
No, I have no idea. No clue.
Maybe it's a humility thing. I don't really know.
I don't know.
That is bizarre.
Surgeons were also considered to be like barbaric up until, I want to say like the mid 1850s when they, because think about it, they had to do surgery without any real anesthetic.
Yeah.
So that's it's a pretty gruesome profession to go into, and they, people of that day,
I don't want to think about
just
that.
Thought that those people were kind of fucked up.
And in a way, they were.
I mean, also help people.
Yeah, for sure. But
yeah, I would not want to go back to those days and, number one, operate, number two, be operated on without a little bit of,
we live in a good time. Yeah. We live in an okay time where we don't have to deal with that.
Fairly pain-free.
Yeah, I don't know. It obviously doesn't bother me that like I or anyone else would have the title and then you would have the same title. I just don't, you know, I think that there should be like something else that defines
demarcation.
Yeah, some, you know, these distinguished people, they deserve a little. I mean, granted they get, you know, you get money and stuff and like,
I mean, a lot of PhDs for the most part are often professors, and they usually go by professor because professor is a higher role than simply a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's really the letters at the end of your name that anybody really cares about in that realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sure, you might be Dr. Marshall, but in some circles that PhD would carry more weight than an MD. In some circles it would carry less weight than an MD.
Yeah.
You can talk to, so there's technically two different types of medical doctors. There's an MD, which is your fairly standard, most doctors that you will run into are MDs. But there are also osteopathic medical schools who have the letters DO at the end of their name. And there comes some stigma with that. So just because they're called Dr. Marshall, if you're Dr. Adam Marshall DO,
that sounds really good. Let's be honest. That sounds good.
But there are a lot of people who like the familiarity with the MD behind their name. So I think the letters behind the end of the name might carry more weight than the DR.
That makes sense. That's fair. You deserve something. That's all I'm saying.
But also at the end of the day, like, who really cares? Like,
no, it doesn't matter.
You don't ever get, unless you get like an honorary doctorate, like, I think Bill Cosby has like 7 honorary doctorates. So
good for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to just say that being a doctor is like the pinnacle of life because Bill Cosby.
And because there is no pinnacle of life, it doesn't exist. It's meaningless. Too. So, I'm not going to get into
my
existentialism. but you know how much it exists.
I think I'm here. I can feel things. I'm good.
Maybe. Probably. Not even probably. Maybe. You might not exist.
That's fair.
Have you ever... let me just... This is something that Clay and I might talk about if I ever make a trip to Madison, something like this. I would run an idea by him. Some people don't follow me when I say these things, but I know that Clay will at least...
try.
Yeah, well, I think you'll grasp. I just think it's a very fascinating thing when you like really take everything, like just take everything else out of it and just leave us at our physical state and not like social anything, but just what we are here right now, forfeiting the idea that there is a self. I'm getting there. I see your eyes darting around, but I'm getting there. Isn't it bizarre to almost think that you are nothing more than a brain inside of a skull? Like, that is you? Isn't that just, like, I am just fascinated by that thought.
So are your hands not you?
All of that would be considered...
So if you...
It's not
say
even
you lost your arm.
Yeah.
You lose your arm from your shoulder down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to not give you like a mechanical prosthesis, but like a legitimate arm transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now your arm or is that somebody else's arm?
That's assuming that there is a like a self. Of course, that would be part of like what someone would consider my body.
But would you consider it your body? Because we're talking about the fact that you were just... the brain.
I should say more so that my entire conscious state is nothing more than electrical chemical impulses that are happening inside my skull. And that and then there's no like there's no life force or any
it's
sort
all
of
physical.
Yeah. Like it's just
physical.
I hardly exist. It's just things happening up in here. That I mean it's hard for me to like really get out what I'm trying to say. I just know.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you find the answer to that, you will have your PhD.
I don't know. It's something that I think because there's like literally just inside this skull right now, there's just this thing that's just doing things. And then
that you're not even aware of
what, yeah. And then what pops out is my conscious awareness. And
which is also a very small part of what it's doing up there. Like you're digesting food right now. And you're not making your brain tell your stomach to digest food.
No, I have hardly any control over what's happening in there. Yet it controls my entire life.
It's a madhouse.
It's, I. There's just no way that I could not be obsessed with the brain. I'm just obsessed with it. I'm not like.
It's fair.
I'm in no way an expert or like even close to it. Fascinated though, and I can at least come up with like thought experiments and things like that because I. I have a brain that never fucking quits. So I think of things like that and other things. Just wanted to run that by you because that's just something that I think about a lot. So I was like, oh, run it by Clay real quick because that's the type of thing that...
It's a little too metaphysical for me.
Yeah, like, I get that.
It's a big ask. It's a lot to think about.
It is. I could break it down like easier if I had more time and we weren't on like this clock right now, but... Just I could kind of, but that would take time for me to figure out. Either way, I think it's fascinating, just the idea of it. Reed, time, please.
41.
Thanks, Boo. Since I took us to a deep place, I would like to surface.
Where are we going?
We're gonna go into part 2 of our what's happening. You good? Oh, lost your headphones. Mm-hmm.
All good.
Okay. So we're going into part two, which is something that you and I both
suck at.
I was going to say enjoy, but I don't know. Ooh. Like
it's a love-hate relationship.
Which would be the fact that we're both sports gamblers. I don't know if you gamble on anything else, but
I do not.
I have been in. I was. It's not like a constant thing, obviously, but the site that we use, Bovada, is. It just celebrated its fifth anniversary. I want to say sometime within the last
5 years.
It was like last year. Never mind. And I've been on it for almost that entire time. Not that I've been like using it consistently, but I'm one of the. I've been on there for like almost since its inception, and.
You're not on the rookie rewards.
Oh no! Oh no! I'm all-star level something. I don't know what it is.
Adam's lost a lot of money.
That's I honestly don't know how much money I've lost, but it's doesn't matter as long as sometimes you win. Like those are all the like you're like, oh man, I just when you finally actually bring something in, because for the most part, man, do I ever lose? Like this summer, we could talk about this summer. And we could fill up plenty of time, but we'll go over. First of all, I'll start. After I got back from Vegas, I had the itch. First of all, I bet $400 on Madrid to win that
Champions League
final, which they did. Lance cried. He was a Liverpool fan. It was great. sorry, Lance, if you're listening.
But really, they had no chance. So
no, they didn't. Which is why it was such a like it was so cool to like go there and be like. I want this, got my slip, got to cash it out. It was awesome. Sitting at a poolside in Vegas, just watching Madrid stomp Liverpool. Sorry, Lance. it was great. And then, okay, so I come home. I am watching Game 7, Celtics, Cavaliers. And Cavs were down 12 and plus 355. And I put $100 on him. I was like, LeBron's going to win this. They did. So I immediately went up huge. And I'm like, all right, here we go. A smart person, especially in my economic situation, should just take that money and run. You just won $355.
But you're up.
This house money.
I'm hot right now.
So I didn't stop. And then I managed to. Get it all the way. We were in the group chat. I was raking all summer, absolutely killing it. And then it took a matter of 2 days. I got all the way up to $900 from that first 100 that I put in. And then I think you were even with me. You were with me. We were watching the World Cup. Lost my ass on the Portugal game at the bar. All because I chased. I had money won, and I was like, oh, boom, 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 boom. Lost it. Put $300 on a Brewers afternoon game because we'd been drinking. Lost it. They got murdered. And then the next day, I put it all on Spain to beat Russia, and just like that, $900 was gone in 2 days. I worked all summer to build that up, and then boop. It was gone. And that is my experience with gambling.
It's fair.
There's no way to win. Like, you're always just like, oh, I'll go a little bit more.
And if I hit this one, I'll make it all back.
Exactly.
And then you never hit that one.
Or you do, and then you like, and then it just, there's, it's
and then
a,
you just lose it.
it's a perpetual, there's no way. Unless you're just like, I'm going to get to this dollar amount, and then I'm out.
No, see, because I had that.
And then you get to that dollar amount, and you're like, well, I'm $60 over that, so I might as well bet that.
I'll bet that $60, and then you lose it. And then it's like, well, I liked having that $60, so I'm going to bet $30 on an underdog. Lose that one. fuck it, I'm already below my count, so I need to make it back. So let's bet $300 on Egypt to beat Russia because Mo Salah's coming back and he just scores no goals. Not salty.
The World Cup was
treating us poorly, very poorly.
I forgot about Egypt. Egypt killed me. Not as bad as Argentina killed me. Argentina was the death of me. They cost me $200 against who made it to the finals?
Croatia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They lost to Croatia. Got stomped by Croatia.
I have a great Croatia-Argentina story. That day, I was standing in my room. I had just lost on Germany, I think.
Notice how nobody has won here yet.
I had just lost on Germany, and I was pissed. I was just so pissed. I came storming down to my room, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to put $300 on France to win the whole fucking thing. Like, I'm just going to do it, and then I'm just going to be done with it. And then I was like, you know what? It was 300. I had it in my bet slip. 300 to win 2,400 at plus 800.
Would have been a good bet.
Had it in my bet slip. And I was like, no. France is great, but their chances of winning it, there's so many good teams in this tournament. Instead, I put that $300 on Argentina to beat Croatia, and all of our lives crumbled that day.
Yeah.
That was a $2,700 swing for me.
That's the day that Leo Messi died to me. I no longer...
He's trash.
I no longer recognize him as even like a top five football player, soccer player in the world now. Like, he is maybe... He might start on like a world all-star team.
Yeah,
he probably can. Coming off the bench, if I'm honest.
And then I pushed on like Argentina against some trash team like Nigeria or something mm-hmm. like that. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Best player in the world? What?
My ass.
Terrible. Terrible. I couldn't believe it. The World Cup was just awful to me this year. So many upsets. Do you have anything in your mind that's like, you can think, this is my worst loss? This is my, like, this was the worst thing, whether it just be like what something that happened in a game or like just a big loss or just a crazy beat, something like that?
Oh, yeah. So we were
talking. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Of course I do. Same day as Egypt getting stomped by Russia, I was chasing. And I told you, I said, I'm going to try not to bet tonight because I know that I'm just going to go tilt. I'm going to tilt. And so I'm going to try to stop. And I said to you, I really like the Cubs here. But I know that the Cincinnati Reds, who were dog shit, they were so bad, are going to beat the Cubs. And so I wait until the Cubs are in like the seventh inning. Cleveland's up, like, or not Cleveland, Cincinnati's up maybe like two runs. Cubs are like plus 240. All right, I'll put the house on it because there's no way. They were like minus 250 to start the game. I'm like, okay, we'll be good. Anthony Rizzo, up, bottom of the eighth inning, two outs, bases loaded, down two, struck out. And there went the rest of my money.
Oh, that's, ugh. You hate to see it.
You do. You really hate to see it.
I have so many bad beats. I also have had, I've won in amazing fashion, you know.
Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Took my bonus from everything I lost.
How did we get to that point, though? May it have had something to do with Duke losing to St. John's on the road in January when Adam bet the house on them?
That was a bad beat. That was a bad beat. I was like, okay, St. John's was terrible, awful, and Duke was like one or two in the nation or something. And what was St. John's was like?
They're dog shit. But then they went and beat Villanova too, like the next week.
Yeah, I know.
They're hot.
I picked them up at the wrong time.
You got caught on the wrong side of a hot streak.
And I was on another heater too. I was on a heater, and I was trying to like hedge my bets. And I put so much, like, I put it all on Duke. And then it's just that empty feeling when you're just watching everything fall apart and there's nothing you can do about it.
You know you're watching, like, they're not going to come back from this.
No, and that, like...
But you're still trying to think, like, maybe we need a bucket here.
My favorite thing is the scenarios that you start making up. You're like, okay.
All right, we hit a three here. He gets fouled. We miss the free throw. Kick it out. Another three. We're only down 17.
That's one of my favorite things about betting is the scenarios that you start creating in your head where you're just like, okay, the Packers need to cover -4. They are down by 7 with like 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. And you're like, all right, so what we need here is, and then there's all the other, like, basketball is my favorite because of the free throw aspect of things. It's like, okay, I need a basket here. I need him to make the first one, miss the second one. I need that rebound. I need the putback. All those types of scenarios that you start creating in your head, can't, like, that is quintessential degenerate sports gambling, is putting all that together and being like, this is what I need, and then having it never happen.
The worst thing in the world, actually, I think the worst thing in the world is when Kansas was beating the shit out of somebody in the tournament, and they're up like 7, and they just launch a corner three as time expires. I've got Kansas -6. Drain this meaningless three just right in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. You guys still lose, and go fuck yourself, Clay.
Kurth has a great story about he was betting on, I can't remember who, it was a tournament game. And it was like -16 or whatever, and they were covering. And then the team that was losing, camera wasn't even, like, the game was over. Camera wasn't even on what was happening. Shot it, and he said all you could hear was just the swish. And he just knew he lost. And if you know Kurt, then you know how funny that is, because just to see his reaction to something like that. I know the feeling. Like, I know the feeling of having, I mean, in the Super Bowl, I had, Reed, what do we have for time? I got to speed this up, don't I?
54.
Okay. So in the Super Bowl, I don't even know if I told you guys about this, because I lost and it was very embarrassing for me. I put $500 on my credit card to bet on James White to get, like, over 4.5 receptions, and then they put Malcolm Jenkins on him game.
He had two early ones too, and you're like, money in the bank.
I know, and that's why I was like, okay, sweet. And then they put Malcolm on him, and that was it. They had, like, one that got called back for a holding.
Oh, that's the worst. Well, no, it's a defensive penalty. Defensive pass interference. He gets the catch. Yeah. No. Give me that catch. Offsides.
I lost so much money on that, but then I won a little bit on the Nick Foles MVP.
Nice bet, by the way. That was a solid. Although, it's easy, because if Philly wins, that's the only logical. Nick Foles is the
MVP. Exactly.
But you did it, so kudos.
Finally, something where, I mean, I lost so much money on that game. Like, I lost a massive amount of money on that game. And then the World Series, the Cubs bet that I won was probably the greatest win that I've ever had. Cubs World Series game 7. Cubs to win the game by 1-2 runs. If you remember that game, it was one of the, like, most insane games in the history of games. Like, just an absolute roller coaster. And then the Cubs end up winning by 2.
Thank God for that.
Or no, they end up winning by 1 because they got that extra run. So they're up by 2. And then the Astros, or the Indians scored again. And that, I mean, so many things. I could go Aroldis Chapman melts and then almost overdoes it. And then Cleveland almost wins. All this. I won like $700 on that, which was, it was like +210 or 230 or something like that. Cubs to win by 1-2. Amazing. And then the next World Series, Houston and LA.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was talking to you during this game, but it was just miserable. They have the mics all, like, so loud for those games. You can hear everything, every step, every pitch, every everything. And I took Houston +150 and
the over.
the over 7.5. And
what was the score like after the second inning?
I know that in the first, like at like,
I think it was like 5-0. What was the final score?
That was 6-1. That was you never use the L word. That was a lock. I was celebrating. I was with Travis Labate, and
that money was spent before the seventh inning stretch.
I was gonna win like $1,200, and I was like, "You did it, Adam. You did it, man. Good for you. Like, you did it." And I just had to watch it. Like, I was just like, "Okay, all right, whatever." Third inning, whatever. Boom. You know. It gets to be 6-1 in, like, I don't know, the fourth, fifth inning. And then you're just like, okay, here come the Dodgers, baby. Here they come.
Never happened.
And it just never happened. And I had to watch that money. It stopped being the $300 that I was going to lose.
That's
was the $1,200 like, yeah. That was in hands. Oh. God knows, would have bought Uggs. Would have bought. I would have been on top of the. That's just free money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to watch that just like
get ripped out of your cold, dead hands.
Especially since I bet the Astros to win as the underdogs, and they kicked their ass. Mm-hmm. And then I came a half a run short of the over. That's probably my worst loss. Not my biggest financial loss. I've lost so many big bets.
That one hurt.
That was extremely. That one kept me up. That legitimately kept me up at night. In all honesty, that kept me up for a few nights. Just thinking about like, I deserve that. Especially when you run out of money. Like when I run out of money, it just makes me so mad. Mm-hmm. Like. So mad, especially when you have a lot and you piss it all away. That, like, the empty feeling of just, like, it's gone.
Look what you did. look at what you have done. Yeah, no, it sucks.
It's painful. It's legitimately painful. And now I've been out for, since the World Cup. Since the World Cup, because I've been in grieving. And now NFL is back, and I know that it's time. Like, I know that I'm ready, and like emotionally to take it back on, because it is like it is an emotional toll. Betting, like the intensity that you'll feel about a Kent State Troy game, you would have no idea what $20 will do when you're just like, I need a Kent State touchdown, and I need it now, like. That's no doubt betting has shaved years off my life. No doubt.
For sure.
The stress that it puts you under, sometimes I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, but I'm in now.
But like, then you win.
Exactly. And then you're back for good. And I don't know, eventually I'll have to maybe stop, but it's not in the plans anytime soon.
No. It's legal now. Can't be bad for you. It's legal.
I remember when you started. I remember when you like got on Bovada, and I was like, "All right, we got another one. Welcome." And now you're the one getting in the group chat. Like, I love our group chat too. It's one of my favorite things, especially when we're all betting, which hasn't been for a while. But when we're all betting and everyone's just, you know, everyone's getting fucked. And
it's way more fun when there are multiple people who are in the same boat of misery.
Yeah, misery loves company, obviously. And that, like, that's, you just lose so much more than you win. So it's just like, you just accept that as what it's going to be. But when you get those wins, man, when you get those wins, you win by a half point or.
Greatest feeling in the world.
It keeps me going. It keeps me going. That's all I really have to say, unless you have anything else that you want to say on sports betting. It's.
I will say that my lock of the week, we are taping this at, 12:15? I'm going to take the Packers-Vikings tie.
Could see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
could see that happening. I've kind of had an inkling that that might be the way this one shakes out.
Probably low 30s, maybe 31, 31, something like that.
Yeah, hard to really say for sure, but I see these teams as being so evenly matched that there's no way that this does not end in a tie.
I do give the edge to the Packers in the kicking game, though.
I can... Yeah,
might play a role.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that prediction.
Lock of the week.
Yeah, everybody listening, go ahead and hammer that. Hammer the Packers Vikings tie because that's Clay's lock of the week. Do you have an actual? No, it'd be just way too difficult for me to find games. I should start a betting show so people can watch. I'm convinced that I'm good at it.
Well, so you're not good at it. Nobody's good at it. But if you can be entertaining with it,
that's true.
It's all that really matters.
I would listen to me talk about betting.
Sure.
I don't know. I'll try something. Reed, you say you have too addictive of a personality to do it.
Absolutely.
That's the perfect personality for it.
Let's go. We can get you in this group chat.
It's fun. All right.
It's no so chance. Much fun.
I can barely pull myself away from Potawatomi.
So just transfer. Even worse. Just stop going to Pato and get on Bovada.
You can stay at home too. It's nice.
Yeah.
That does not help.
It makes Wednesday night football games so much more interesting.
More convenient. It's worse for me. I will go broke. I won't pay rent.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, it's what we do.
What you guys just said here sounded like excruciating.
But look how much fun we're having.
Yeah. Trust me, it's fun.
I lost almost $1,000 this summer, and I would go back and do it again in a heartbeat.
Fuck that.
I'm pretty sure I recall you trying to get into Bovada.
Yeah, actually, that's one issue. My bank doesn't let me do it, so I could do my credit baby. Card, but no, Bitcoin. No, not for me. Just not for me. I will really mess myself up financially. I just know it.
I'm here for that.
No, you're here for my health problems. I don't want to bear two things on you. I need you ready for next time I have a health scare.
Have you had one before?
Well, in Vegas.
We'll hit a miss. That's...
We won't go into it, but I was... No details, but I was texting Clay pretty much all day on our last day in Vegas, and he was giving me advice and talking me through Reed's health scare that he was having, and it was a real one. But under the watchful eye of Clay, he made it. So
God bless you.
Just a long day in the sun, all it was.
All right.
that Vegas heat.
Thank you very much, Clay, for coming on.
Absolutely.
This was quite a pleasure. We're going to have to... I think we're going to have to keep up with you in your medical school life. And then maybe if I can get on the same page as my co-host, then we can actually come to Madison as we planned and do a little road trip. And then you'll have to convince Reed to go out because he said that he wasn't going to stay in Madison. So,
to be perfectly honest with you, I don't go out anymore. That's not in the cards.
My guy.
Not even dives? I thought we were dive guys.
I
mean, I'm totally fine with not going out.
Just no time.
I guess we haven't gone out the last couple times that have come up to Madison, now that I think about it. We just watch football. Just a couple of football guys. Okay, well, cool. Thanks for coming on, and we will talk to you later.